What's up, M12? How you guys doing? Yeah, that's it. That's all I get. How you guys doing? All right, man. What a great, great night. So glad that you guys are here. My name is Kevin, and I am one of the pastors here at 12 Stone. I love this church. Love you guys. We've got eighth graders in here, right? Right? How many of you guys have been coming? How many of you guys have been here for at least a year that are in eighth grade? If you don't remember me, I'm the guy who fell off the stage during speaking. Anybody remember that? Yeah, that was me, man. The good-looking guy that challenged gravity. Gravity always wins. Hey, well, listen, we're super glad that you guys are here. Before I get rolling, just a few things. First of all, I just want to publicly say this, man. Pastor Steven, where's that guy at? Right there, man. You guys have one of the best middle school pastors in the country. He's awesome. Thank you for the privilege of being here. Steven's awesome. I've got to work with that guy for about a decade. You guys have some of the best leaders, volunteer leaders. We could not do this without you. We love you. We need you. What a great band. Ryan, Savannah, all you guys are just awesome. So glad that you guys are here. If you guys, as we start rolling into this, we have been talking about battlefield, about spiritual battles outside of just what you and I see every day. And I don't know if you guys know this about me, about a lot of people. I'm a huge movie fan. I love, how many of y'all like to go to the movies, man? Watch me. Dude, I love going to the movies. I love watching movies. I like making movies. I'll do whatever. It's all, I got three kids, man. We've like made movies in our backyard. Like I play Anna in Frozen. It's awesome. And all of that. No, I'm not singing that. Let it go, bro. And is all these different things. I love movies. In fact, one of my, calm down. Focus on me. Is like Pastor Steven and I, man, we've been friends for a long time. And even just a few weeks ago, we went and saw a movie together. He bought my ticket. It was awesome. It was so romantic. No, it's okay. It was my birthday. So he bought me a ticket at the Colonial AMC. How many of y'all been there where they got the big lounging seats? Will you just sit back? I've been to movie. Listen, I've been there four times. I've fallen asleep twice. Like, because it's so comfortable. Like, give me some sweatpants and popcorn. I'm in. And like, but Stephen came, we roll in and he goes, man, there's only seats in the front row. And I'm telling you, like, we're laying back. I can see like up the nostrils of everybody on there. When you're in the front row, listen to me, when you're in the front row, you get to see everything. And that's what we're talking about this week. We want you to talk about, we've talked about Satan, we talked about spiritual warfare, but we want you guys to see something. And listen, for a guy who loves movies, October's a crazy month. You know why? All the scary movies are out, man. Listen, all the old school ones. Stop. All the old school ones, all the new school ones. Man, I grew up like Friday 13th and Freddy Krueger, all this stuff. Listen, man, my family's from Ireland, okay? And my dad's a dual citizen of Ireland, and we hate being scared. Now, how many of y'all like being scared? Like scary movies? How many of you are like, do not scare me, or I will slap you with Jesus' power. Listen. I get it. But there's all, the, like, I saw some preview for some, like, little scary doll. Like, and well, all right, so you've seen it too. How do you go to sleep in, with the room, like, in your room with dolls and think, dolls are freaky, like, clowns are freaky? Anybody freaked out about clowns? All right. Shh, 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 shh. All that stuff. But this is a time for movies. Now, I mean, here's the dangerous part about all this stuff with movies is they lead you to believe about scary things and sometimes angels and sometimes demons. But they're misleading you. They're not telling you the whole truth. And so for the next 15 to 20 minutes, we're going to dive into a little bit about what the Bible says about angels and demons. If you have a Bible, take it out. If you don't have a Bible, there's one right below you. Take that out. We're going to be camping first in the book of Hebrews. It's page 1204. We'll get there. We'll get there. But if you don't have a Bible, listen to me. If you've never had a Bible, or the only Bible you have at your house is in some language you can't understand, or it's like a little princess Bible or something like that, let me know. We'll gladly get you a Bible. This church loves the Word of God. We want to make sure that you have a Bible in all of that stuff. So make sure that you have one. Now, I want to tell you guys, as you're getting your Bibles, you got all your stuff. Even if you remember movies about demons, there was a movie years ago called Legion, and it was about all of these demons. Look at me. And it was crazy because the video had like a demon would come into this grandma and then she would be jumping on the screen like Spider-Man, or like dogs would attack you and the angels had M16. She would be. That's not the spiritual warfare of the Bible. And honestly, as we go through and track tonight, I want you to see what's in the Bible and what's just Hollywood media to entertain you. Now, I will tell you one of the spookiest stories I'm about to share this video with you guys. It's pretty scary. So if you get super scared, don't hold on to that person next to you unless you know them, because that gets weird, okay? Especially you young boys, don't be like, hey, baby, this is going to get scary. I got you. We ain't going to do that, okay? Shh, shh. Stop, okay? But I want to set this up, man. This is scary stuff. Because listen, look at me. The stuff in real life is the scariest. And you're going to see this 1 minute video, that's pretty scary. You guys ready? All right. So obviously, you know, that's not fake. That's not real, right? You know, it's like, and it's supposed to be funny. But here's the whole thing is, for some of you, you were thinking, okay, something scary is going to jump out. It's going to be like, you know, grandpa and his Speedo. Something jumps out and it's scary. So, but listen, here's the whole thing is, the Bible is really clear that we as believers are not to have a spirit of fear or of timidity, but one of boldness and of strength. And if you've got Jesus, you have boldness and strength of things you should not fear. And as we go through this, this is what I want you guys to go through today. As we look, is where are you getting your information about demons and about angels and about spooky things in a very spooky time of year? Where are you going to? Because listen, to know things biblically about angels and demons does one thing. It points you to worship Christ. So this is what I want you to do. You guys have opened up your Bibles to Hebrews 1 on there. This is the simple idea. I want you this, that you can trust the Bible. That you can trust the Bible. That you can what? Yeah, that you can trust the Bible. Look at Hebrews 1, 4, 6. Beginning in verse 4. If you have one of these Bibles below your seat, it's 1204 is the page. And verse 4, and it says, so he, and we're talking about Jesus Christ here, okay, became as much superior to the angels as the name he had inherited is superior to them. So Jesus is bigger than them. He says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? They didn't. Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says this, let all God's angels worship him. See, at the end of the day, look at me, students. No matter how crazy things get, we're designed to do one thing, to bring praise and honor to Christ, to worship God. That's ultimately what everything is. And everything that is created, the Bible says at the end of Psalms, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That is our purpose. That is our direction. Last week we spoke about Satan and he is the chief of the falling angels. So why are we even talking about angels? Well, let me give you three real simple reasons why we're talking. The first one is there are 66 books in this Bible. 34 of those books mention angels. So over half of those of the books of the Bible have something to do with angels. Now here's the other component. We have the Bible, but then we have everything in the world. If you went to YouTube and just typed in angels, you'd see all kinds of crazy stuff. You see people, oh, I saw an angel in my backyard. Oh, there's an angel, you know, in my backseat of my car. Jesus, take the wheel. You know, like you've seen all of these kind of crazy things. Angels in my trunk, you know, and like all kinds of stuff about angels. So you have the Bible, you have the world giving you wrong ideas. Look at me, wrong ideas about angels. But look at this. Here's one of the most important reasons that I want to talk about it is because the church doesn't talk a lot about it. most of us adults could come up here and say, you know, if I asked you, hey, you grew up in church, did your church talk much about angels or demons? And most of them would say no. That they would either get what they viewed of about angels and about demons either from just maybe one or two scriptures that they read or from movies. And to be honest, if you've been around 12 Stone enough, from everything from newborns all the way to adults, we have no problem talking about everything. Pastor Stephen and thanks, Amanda. Pastor Stephen and Pastor Kevin Myers, our pastor, we all sit down and talk about, we want to cover everything in someone's life. There is nothing that you can't come to us as pastors and say, I'm struggling. Oh, we can't talk about that. Now, I may say, I have no idea what that is. Let me get you connected to the right person. Let me get you connected to a counselor, or another pastor, or another leader that can deal with those things for you. But listen, look at me, students, middle school students. There is nothing that you're going through that we want you to go through alone. We want to be with you. And some churches won't talk about it, but we want to be a church that does talk about it. The Old and New Testament both have plenty of words, Greek and Hebrew words for it. But listen, the bottom line of what an angel means is this. And if you're taking notes or anything, angel means messenger. It means one taking a message. Now, as we look through this, as you look through reading the Bible, it talks about angels and stuff. But their whole goal is to promote who Jesus Christ is. The angels simply point us to Jesus. Angels point us to Jesus. Angels do what? They point us to Jesus. At the end of the day, angel, what's up, Jesus? Hey, how's your day? Jesus. Not that you can talk to him like that, or hey, let me text you, angel. Jesus, I mean, it's all about Jesus. And honestly, if you were a person of faith and that you say, listen, Jesus has every part of my life. And I want Jesus in every aspect of my life. So that's what we're pointing at. Now, listen, let me ask you this. If I had talked to you before, some of you had said, well, tell me about angels. Most of you had been like, I don't know. I don't know what an angel looks like. Maybe it's some like good looking blonde white dude. No, it's not me. But maybe it's like some little chubby, you know, guy playing a harp or doing something like that. But let me answer some questions. I'm going to throw this up. There's a slide for this on the screen of what are angels like. And I'm going to blow through some stuff for you guys, but I think it's really important for the sake of time. If you have questions, write down these Bible verses. I'm just going to give you the Bible. At the end of the day, man, I have no authority on myself but the Word of God. We elevate Scripture here. We love the Bible. We teach the Bible, and we want you this. So what are angels like? Let me give a few things. First of all, they're immaterial intelligent, which means they're not human and being able, you can't like go squeeze an angel like some Charmin. Like you can't squeeze an angel. Oh, he's so cute, you know? But they are intelligent. It's not like they're just like, hey, I'm an angel. You know, it's like they're intelligent beings. And you've got verses in Hebrews and 2 Kings. Look at this. Fearsome warriors. A lot of people view like angels as like fat, lazy people who sit in the corner and do nothing. Or innocent babies. Like, who does that? But they are fearsome warriors. There are aspects of this that they are the main soldiers that go in first. That there are times where Jesus says, I am sending the angels before you. They are warriors. They are jacked. They know their place in all of this stuff. There are two types of angels that are mentioned a lot. The first one are cherubims. They are guardians. Those are the guys that sit there and protect you, that protect me, that protect young people. Listen, I take the call to ministry to children extremely important. It is the only verse in the Bible that says, if you harm a child, it is better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and being thrown into a lake and drowned. It's the only place in the scripture says, if you disobey a certain age group, you might as well die. Not a lot of people want to sign up for that. Who wants to help kids now? But I take it very seriously of what we're going after. And you guys got some of the best people, but there are cherubim that help. There are seraphim that are worshipers. Their only job is to cry, holy are you, Lord. Holy are you, God. Look through Isaiah, some of the prophets. Holy, they're just worshiping God 24/7. There are ranked soldiers. There are some soldiers that have authority and strength over other ones. Just like in a military, just like in a job. There are some soldiers, hey, you've got to go do this. You go do this. There's a different sense of authority in this. But I want you to know this. What are angels like? There are three places in the Old Testament. They're called theophany, which is a very academic term for the presence of Jesus Christ before he came as man. He came as an angel, angelic type being. And if you look through this, the angel that wrestled with Jacob, you will see that Jesus Christ came in that. Now, here's the other next slide for you. What do angels do? Like, that's the whole thing. So what? They're warriors, they're messengers, they're guardians. What does that mean? What does that look like? A few things really quick. They're worshipers. I said that they worship God. They get after who Jesus is. They are messengers. That angels announce Jesus' birth to Joseph. They talk to Mary. They talk to Elizabeth. That there are times when angels appear, look at me, when angels appear to humanity to give them a message that will change history. And I still believe sometimes that happens today, that there are opportunities where angels can come to humanity. I think it's extremely rare. I think if you're sitting in your room, you know, and somebody just says your name, like you're laying in bed, it's like, it's not angel, just get out of your house and run, okay? Let's just put it that way, okay? But I do think there are period of times where angels do come in and talk and to certain people that are shifters of culture and shifters of what God has and all of that stuff. They're ministers, ministered to Jesus, and so do us. There's a place in Hebrews where it says, unbeknownst, unknown to us, that we could be ministering to angels. Now listen, when it talks about messengers, it's important to know who that message is from, right? There was a recent survey that I saw online talking about cell phone uses, and I'm assuming that most of you have a cell phone in here. But like, if you get a cell phone call and you don't know who it is, what do you usually do? Really? You answer it? No. That's only if like no one ever calls you and you're like, I'm lonely. But like that recent survey said, look at me, even adults, that 92% of phone calls are rejected if they do not know who the person is, because it doesn't matter. Now listen, it's the same thing if you pick up, oh, and you're doing something wrong and it looks up and it says, mom, oh, I better answer this. Oh, it's my dad. Oh, it's my teacher. Oh, it's my BFF or whatever, you know, it's Bebe. Whatever it is, whoever it is, it depends on who that message is. And if you guys are in a texting generation, I've had this happen before. You send the wrong text to the wrong person. I had to change something in mine. Let me tell you a quick story. In my phone, I've been married 15 years. I love my wife. She's beautiful. She's awesome. She is the best part of me. I love her deeply. And so in my phone, she's just called my love. That's all she is. So whenever it's my love. That's my love. That's my, when I send an email out, anybody else, it says my love, my love. I want the world to know that that woman is adored and loved by me. She is my love. Yeah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so that, but here's the whole thing. For a season, I had something right under it called my mom, okay? Because that's my mama. And my love is M-Y space L, and mom is M-Y space M. They're right next to each other. And my mom and my wife were texting me about different things, and I put in my phone, hey baby, I can't wait to come home to kiss you. Send. And so my mom got that message. Wrong person. But my mom, being the funny Irish person, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, she's like, I love you too, baby, but you should probably make out with your wife. Okay, but where the message goes is important. Who the messenger is on that, okay? A few more spectators. Listen, there are angels watching us. Now, not like creepy looking in your windows like. But they're watching humanity, okay? And finally, you have angels that are fighters. And there are angels that are destroyers. Yes, listen, look at me. If no one's ever told you this before, I hate to tell you, but at some point we're all going to die. Now, please don't go home and say, hey, Pastor Kevin told me we're dead. That's not what I'm saying. Tell him Pastor Stephen told you that. It is, at some point, all of us are going to be a memory. That's just, it's life. It could happen today. It could happen. I pray for most of you that is decades away from now of where it is. But at some point, that's going to happen. Okay? But there were mighty warriors that were destroyers that were sent by God. So here's some of the other questions I get. I'm going to answer these really quick. How many angels are there? Revelation said that there are thousands upon tens of thousands. These are questions that you guys have asked us before, okay? Do people still see angels today? Yes. I believe that. Do they see them all the time? Ooh, there's an angel. No, it's not like finding like somebody with like a bad haircut or something like that. It's like, but there's angels, okay? Should we, will we rule over angels? No, Jesus is the ruler of angels. Can angels fall to become demons? Yes, they can. The Bible here tells us that there are angels that have rebelled against God and chosen to fall in Satan. And that takes us into this, into Matthew 8:28. Where, listen, I'm going to abbreviate this story. But here it is that there was this man named Legion who was consumed with demons, and he was acting all crazy. He was spitting up and cursing. He's walking around talking to people, had very little clothes on, hadn't shaved and showered for, well, I didn't say shower back then, bathed for a long time. And they thought he was demon-possessed. And Jesus went and talked to him, and he put that spirit into a group of pigs. And those group of pigs got so riled up that they jump off a cliff and died. That's what happened. Okay, to get rid of the demons. But why should we talk this? Because listen, the Bible says that a third of all the angels fell with Lucifer and rebelled against God. These are fallen angels. There are fallen angels. Let me tell you this. Here it is. There's another slide for this, just about demons. What are demons like? It's only fair that I answer this question. First of all, is that they exist. One of the biggest lies is they're saying, oh, there is not evil in the world. Listen, if you don't think that there's evil in the world, watch the news. Listen, and I'm telling you as a parent, there's some of it that you should not watch. And adults, there's part of it we shouldn't watch. Because listen, look at me. There is evil in this world. Now here, let me give you another point, that there are some fallen demons that have freedom to go and do as they will. But there are some demons that are so bad that even Jesus stepped back and said, you have the potential to harm my creations, which are you and me. So I'm going to limit your power and what you can do. And finally, demons can possess. The demons can take over a person's body. But here's the question I always get after this. Can they possess someone who loves Jesus and who's given their life to Jesus Christ? No, thank you. Great answer. You know why? Because who already has your heart? And let me tell you something. The King, Creator, Sustainer of the world that holds your heart looks Satan in the eye and says, this is mine. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus is on your side, and if Jesus has your heart, he has everything, and he is the wall. He is the strong guardian that protects you. But I do want to tell you this as we close out. The demons can influence you, and they can tempt you to sin, and they can tempt you to fall away. They can tempt you to isolate yourself from your friends. And they can tempt you to fall. And at the end of the day, guys, look at me. You have messengers from Satan and messengers from God. You have angels, you have demons, you have the creator of the world, and you have the deceiver of the world calling to recruit you and using tragedy, insecurities, pain, hurt in your life to recruit you, to say that love doesn't matter, that evil doesn't really exist, or that you don't need God. So my question to you is, as you are being recruited both by good and by evil, both by Satan and by God, who has your heart? And I want to tell you something. Listen, look at me. Talk to your small group leaders as you guys go and do your questions. Come talk with pastors. We want you to know that, man, it is never too late, and there's always an opportunity for you to give your heart and give your life and give your eternity to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He cares for you. Let me pray for you guys and we're done. Father God, I thank you that you love us and that you care for us, that you want us to be with you. For you are good and you are worthy. And God, I pray that as we go from here, that you would guide us and use us. Father, I thank you for these small group leaders. Father, would you be at their conversations? Father, would you indeed send your angels before us? Father, we ask for their presence, for their power around us. Father, we ask for your power as we just go about to worship Jesus Christ. And if any one of them feel like, I need Jesus in my life, would they speak up either in their group or individually to a pastor, to a leader, to share that they need Jesus Christ, Father. And as we rejoice in the coming of even just one believer to Jesus, in the precious name of Christ, we pray.